This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Heard any good Gastonia jokes lately? Well, if you ask people living in Gaston County, there have never been good jokes about their part of the world, despite their having to suffer through years of those attempts at humor. Some major morning radio personalities here have mined the county for humor or attempts at it. Even newspaper columnists have done that, even some traveling Broadway shows trying to localize their appeal. And for a long time, residents there just sucked it up and took it in stride. But there comes a time when you've had enough of being a punchline, and that time has come. There are a lot of positives to life in Gaston County, a lower cost of living for starters, but perhaps you don't know about these things, so they've set out to rebrand themselves, to tell their story, to give themselves an image makeover in the hopes of bringing in more jobs and getting more people to put down roots. And we're joined this hour by some of the people behind this campaign. Joel Long is chairman of the Greater Gaston Development Corporation. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Donnie Hicks is Executive Director of the Gaston County Economic Development Commission. Morning.
Thank you.
Terry Cox is Executive Director of Gaston Innovation Group. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Reeves McGlowan is the former Gaston County School Superintendent and now Senior Consultant for Workforce Development for the Gaston Regional Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to you.
Good morning.
Well, what was the catalyst for launching this rebranding of Gaston County? Joel.
Well, you know, Mike, about 2 years ago, I think we had a few economic, what we would consider economic losses, where maybe we didn't gain some of the attention or successes from an economic standpoint. And, you know, we decided to do something about it. We formed a group of investors and a group of partners across our county called the Alliance for Growth. And we commissioned a study by the Voce Group out of Charlotte to really find out what the opinion was of Gaston County and get some good opinions on that. And out of that questionnaire, we learned some pretty startling facts from our view. We found out that really people don't have a negative view of Gaston County and the business climate, but we found out that about 78% of Mecklenburg County residents don't have much of an opinion at all.
And why do you care?
Why do I care
about Mecklenburg County and what we think about Gaston County?
Well, I'm not sure we do a lot of that. But in my world, education and information is always a good thing. And so after finding that out, we really set out to our goal at the GGDC is to improve our tax base, increase our tax base, and bring more capital investment into Gaston County and make our job situation better.
An image campaign has to have its foundation in truth. Otherwise, will find out that it's not true and they'll just ignore it. So you say this is a truth campaign. What is Gaston County's truth?
Well, I think it's we're definitely unique in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg region. You know, when you look at Gaston County, I think we're a great snapshot of North Carolina. You got in the western part, you got the Crowder's Mountain State Park, beautiful mountains. And on the eastern side, you got the Catawba River and Lake Wylie. And it's just a beautiful place. And nestled in between there is, I think, the incredible 13, 14 municipalities that we have that make up just an incredible, incredible place to live. And so we wanted to project that, and we are.
You've also said that this is not a rebranding, as I called it. You've said that this is an extension of who we are. What does that mean?
I think when you look back over our history, we have an incredible work ethic. We're very proud people. Our history from a textile background, you see that we love Gaston County. And our people are strong, and we have a unique place in the Mecklenburg region. Mm-hmm. And we're going to try to project that all throughout the region.
Reeves McGlowan, you have feet in both counties because I know you grew up in Mecklenburg and now you've been in Gaston for quite a while. Tell me the difference between these two places because they touch each other, but they're different.
You know, Mike, they are different, but they're also very similar. You know, they're both made up of individuals who love the community in which they live. They both are made up of individuals who sometimes don't work real hard to understand the other place. One of the things that I found out when I came to Gaston County some 25 years ago was that there were just as many misperceptions in Gaston County about Mecklenburg as there were in Mecklenburg about Gaston.
Well, I was going to ask if there are any good Mecklenburg County jokes that you guys tell about it. And Terry, you have your feet in both counties because you have businesses in both counties. What do you perceive as the difference? Or better question, I suppose, maybe, is what do you perceive as the most misunderstood part of Gaston County?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I'm fairly new to this whole effort, and I do think it has a lot more assets to offer the region than the region knows. And I think it's you know what I call it? I call it the next frontier for our region. I really do. I'm very bullish on Gaston County, and I love the community spirit and the drive and the passion to really want to do something there. And there's a lot to be said for that.
And in a way, Donnie Hicks, it is a frontier in the American sense because it's to the west of Charlotte, but also because it is, I'm told, it has the slowest growth of any Mecklenburg neighboring county, which means there's a lot of opportunity, it would seem to me.
There's a lot of opportunity. We've had slower residential growth, but not slower business development growth. Mm-hmm. If you look at the companies have located in the county over the last two or three years, significant amount of foreign investment. We've been chosen by major global corporations to locate there. Owens Corning just opened the largest greenfield project in the company's 75-year history a couple weeks ago. When they did that initial search, they did 200 locations, and they picked Gaston. And part of that, is, as Terry's saying, is the asset combination that we have. We have a unique development opportunity for them where we can meet their utility requirements. We have the workforce and the workforce training that's set up to do this. These are very advanced manufacturing jobs with a lot of white-collar jobs that come with them. And then to back us up, we have the residential options in Mecklenburg County. Not that people can't live here, mm-hmm. but when you look at the people relocating from Europe that came from London, Charlotte's a fairly small place.
Yeah.
So there's a great combination of assets that we have. And one of the things we've tried to get people in Gaston County to understand is that this wasn't a rejection of – Charlotte wasn't rejecting them to come there, that when they look at it, we have the best asset for them to locate the facility mm-hmm. in the combination of airport and lifestyle that Charlotte may bring to us, that that's almost an unstoppable combination in the Southeast.
Why have residential options been slow to grow?
We don't have the same arterial connections to Charlotte that a Union County or York County would have. So in Cabarrus County, it's easy just to push across the border. There are roads that go back and forth across all
the locations. So the river is the impediment.
The river is a huge impediment to allow people just to simply locate across the line. We have 74, 85, and 27. It really allow you to push in there. So we have these constriction points. We have 7 miles from 74 to the river that there's no way to cross either from Mecklenburg or Gaston. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's slowed the growth. There's not a natural progression of the growth just flowing over the county line.
Mm-hmm. This campaign that you have launched for awareness and branding, I guess, is called Gaston Outside. Outside what?
Well, I think it's outside a lot of things. I know I always enjoy when you travel in the United States or even overseas and someone asks you where you're from. One of the great things I've heard us say is, well, where are you from? We're from Mount Holly or Cherryville or maybe Huntersville or wherever. And mm-hmm. then they say, where is that? And you say, well, we're just outside Charlotte. And I think that's what part of this is embracing. We love being just outside Charlotte. And we also have the incredible things that go with our small communities and just being outside. I know from my house in Belmont, I'm 15 minutes from the airport, and we consider that our airport over in Gaston County. And so we can have the best of both worlds. And so this campaign is a little bit of us saying that, yeah, we are just outside. With the GO moniker, it's really pushing us to take action. Mm-hmm. And it's something that all of our communities have gotten behind. It's something interesting is happening where, from a collaboration standpoint, almost all of our cities have bought in and are paying part of this. We've got businesses. It's a collaboration. It's a huge partnership. And so we're all doing it together and going forward together to make changes in Gaston County for the positive.
You talked about the survey that you took to find out about the impressions others have of people in Gaston County or the county itself, I guess is the better way to say it. What is the image of the county inside the county? What did you discover that? What are people who live there think about themselves or about where they live?
Well, it was mostly very positive. I think 58% of the respondents had a very positive image of Gaston County and our cities and what we're doing, like I said, also can be translated into 42% don't necessarily do have a positive image.
Why do you think that? Because one of the things that you found out was that people in Mecklenburg County, more than 78% of Mecklenburg County residents, have only moderate to low or no knowledge of Gaston County. They don't think about it at all. Why do you think that you suffer from a lack of image, at least within this county? And I'm sure Lincoln County would say this different. You would say something different about Lincoln County. But why? Why do you suppose there's no image at all?
I think Donnie's point's a good one, that you know, we allow the river at times to separate us. And I think we're working hard to change that. We don't mind being a little bit outside sometimes. I think that can be a good thing. And we definitely love our small-town feel and being so connected to Charlotte at the same time. And so keeping that balance is very important for us.
But as you attract, if you're successful at this, and I'm sure you will because you already have successes under your belt, do you worry that you will kill the goose that laid the golden egg? I mean, if people start moving there in droves, you're going to be Mecklenburg County again.
I think in ways we're ahead of that. If you look at the outside campaign, one of the other issues is just all the natural assets and amenities that we have. If you look at the number of acres preserved through the Catawba Lands Conservancy, I think we're number one or two. Mm-hmm. We have the State Experimental Forest that's almost 2,000 acres in Crowder's Mountain. So we're already putting in place a lot of land preservation that I don't think will be fully realized the value of that for another 20 or 30 years. Mm. But as we continue to do that, we already have plans in place and places that we've dedicated to remain open space forever.
The mill started shutting down years ago, but that had a severe economic impact and an employment impact on the county because people spent their whole lives working for these mills, and suddenly they went away. Have you recovered from that in Gaston County?
We had a Detroit-like experience in the Sun Belt. Yeah. I mean, we really were. We were the center of yarn processing in the world, mm-hmm. and we went from being the center of world yarn processing to not having any. We have about 2,000 textile workers today. 30 years ago, we had 35,000.
Right.
So we've made this massive transition. I think people look at us during this transition period, and that's what they think about us. But I think we've really come out of that, and we've had net positive employment gains even through the recession from 2008 on. So if you look back over the last 6 or 7 years, we've had net positive gains in employment, especially in manufacturing. So that 30-year period where we've gone through this transition has been pretty tough. But I think we've turned the corner, and we are really making it, and we're actually moving ahead with a lot of advanced manufacturing facilities.
Would you say you're back to where you were 30 years ago in terms of the number of people employed, or can you tell? Because obviously the population has changed over that time as well.
We'll never be back to where we were for manufacturing employment, but for total employment we have shown growth. So if you include white-collar retail commercial, we have shown growth. We'll never be back to where we were for manufacturing. People don't hire that many people anymore. There's so much automation today. And we were a huge manufacturing center.
And that's true across the country. So that's all about retraining employees and better educating employees so they can do the jobs of today and not the jobs of yesterday, because those jobs are gone forever. And that's part of the political problem that we're facing in this country today. I mean, how have you overcome that?
One of the things that we've tried to work on is we had a structural unemployment problem where the people that were available didn't match up with the new skills.
Right.
If you look at the advanced manufacturing companies we're recruiting, you unfortunately may not be a good candidate for them because they're looking for an associate's degree with some experience. And a lot of people have been left behind. So we're doing a lot of things. Reed's working on some of these things where we have a manufacturing boot camp to help people have no experience gain enough experience to maybe get an interview and get in at the entry level. Mm-hmm. And then we're building a new advanced manufacturing training center at Gaston College. And that's designed to help the Owens Cornings of the world who need very sophisticated workers that can be not only initial employees, but also be retrained to stay with the company's growth and the changing needs that they have for workforce.
I'm going to talk more about that and the impact of another kind of river, and that is a digital river, which has to come through Gaston County, has to come through all of America, as a matter of fact, because literally that is the river of today's manufacturing, the availability of a pipeline for digital technology, which you're working on in Gaston County as well. We'll talk more about all of that and more when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Urgent Vet Pet Clinic, providing veterinary urgent care 365 days a year. Your pet can't wait to feel better. More info at urgentvet.com. Well, as Charlotte's demographics have changed, as people move here from around the country, the less homogeneous character of our city is now reflected in our dining options. We've gone from a town full of restaurants featuring a meat and three with sweet tea to a city in which foods from around the world, including multi-ethnic fusions, are featured. We're going to take a closer look at these new options and what they tell us about our changing identity tomorrow on this program at 9. Tomorrow night at 7, WFAE is hosting a public conversation to examine how House Bill 2 has changed the state's image, economy, education, and tourism. You're invited to join us in the McGlowan Theater tomorrow night at 7 for a special live broadcast of that public conversation on Charlotte Talks. And if you can't make it or you can't hear it, you can hear it the next day at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Democratic National Convention gets underway in Philadelphia, where Hillary Clinton will accept the presidential nomination. What's ahead at the convention, the party platform, and strategies for energizing voters.
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Gaston County today and their Outside Gaston or Gaston Outside campaign. I'll try to get it right. And it's not about being outdoors in Gaston County, although that's part of it. It's about economic development and just recognizing the things that Gaston County has to offer. I say it again.
Live, work, and play.
Live, work. You have to get close to the microphone. The microphone is your best friend in the room. That's Joel Long, chairman of the Greater Gaston Development Corporation. He's here along with Donnie Hicks, executive director of Gaston County Economic Development, Reeves McGlowan, senior consultant for workforce development with the Gaston Regional Chamber, and Terry Cox, executive director of, it'll come to me, the Gaston Innovation Group. We talked a little bit about the image of Gaston County from outside, particularly in Mecklenburg, and with Mecklenburg, 78% of Mecklenburg residents saying they have no image whatsoever of Gaston County. How do you compare with other counties around here? Iredell, Lincoln, Cabarrus, even York County in South Carolina, do you think, or do you know?
I'm not sure I know.
Do you care?
we're pretty focused on Gaston County and working through. If we solve our concerns, we'll move on to the other county.
One of the concerns I understand in Gaston County, for developers at least, is the amount of available land, ready to sell land. Why is that a problem? Why is it more of a problem than it is in other counties around the area?
I think we developed earlier than a lot of the other counties. If you look at our initial population growth and the number of municipalities we had, most of those municipalities grew up around textile mills or textile mill operations. So we have 13, 14 municipalities, and so there was not a lot of open farmland even 50, 75 years ago. A lot of that land was consumed by these towns and the mills. If you look at the amount of square footage we had in these textile mills, it dwarfed the amount of industrial projects that were in most of the other surrounding counties. And so we consumed a lot of that land early on. And I think the other issue we've had over the years is lack of available utilities. It wasn't always just the availability of the land. Is that we didn't have utilities to them. And we've been working on that for 30 years.
Meaning water, sewer?
Water and sewer. We have the benefit of having all these little towns with water and sewer systems, but they typically grew up around the mill. And then when the mill went away, they had some capacity, but it's tough. So one of the things we're doing now is trying to regionalize the system so that we've taken in a lot of these smaller municipalities. And Gastonia runs a number of them, including selling water to Clover, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we have a partnership with Kings Mountain for some utilities. So we're trying to get the utility extensions, and I think that in some part solves some of the availability of land issue.
Is that a long-term – it's obviously expensive, but is that a long-term project?
We've been working on it since 1982 in a serious fashion. And so we've spent probably in excess of $75 to $100 million just on line extensions, not utility plans, just extensions. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take a while. And then I think you also have to think about where should we extend those. I don't think we want to just blindly extend them to locations that we may not want to actually develop. So the challenge is trying to find a way to afford them and then extend them to the most logically developed locations.
Yeah. The as you mentioned, the mills were enormous, and they took up a lot of real estate. But those mills have pretty much gone fallow. What are you doing with that land, with those buildings? Obviously, they're privately owned. I would assume they're still privately owned. What's happening to those structures?
It's a range of activities. They had life in them until maybe a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you see now is a combination of having some of them torn down to make the sites available and some of them being redeveloped. The most significant redevelopment is the Loray Mill in Gastonia, roughly 500,000 square feet. It would be big even in South End. It would be a huge undertaking. And so we've been working with a developer since 1995 to have the property redeveloped. And the first phase of that is underway.
We did a program on that. Where does that stand now?
It's the commercial part of it is coming. The residential piece is going real well. And so it's open.
Have people moved in?
Oh, yes.
Is it an easy sell? That's a new concept for Gaston County.
I think it appeals to a certain group of people. If you have three kids, you're probably not going to move there.
Right.
But to a younger lifestyle or to someone that has an empty nest or just doesn't want the to live in a regular apartment complex because it is pretty dramatic space.
So for that, you're in competition with areas like South End and Charlotte because it's going to be young people for the most part who are attracted to that kind of a living space. How do you compete? Because Charlotte also offers, if you're living in South End, a rail line that will take you to the uptown area for entertainment and bar hopping and things and restaurants and things like that, nightlife. How do you compete with that?
I don't think you can compete with that at South End. I think what the difference is, you have a single building with a very dramatic space. So it has commercial space in it. It has pools and amenities in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much, much larger development than you'd see almost anywhere in South End. It would take a couple developments of South End to equal that. We can't really compete on the lifestyle piece, but you get the dramatic space and the feel of that for a substantially lower price.
And it's less expensive.
Substantially lower price.
You know, South End's gone way up. And so, you know, to get on 85 and go into town to work, these young kids, I don't think that's a problem.
They don't want to do that.
Well, I actually, since 80, I'm bullish on Luray Mill personally because I think it's fantastic space for entrepreneurship and innovation and technology. It's just a little ways out right now. But the fact that 80% of those lofts are renting now and all those kids are, most of them, according to Bob Clay, are traveling into Charlotte to work. Mm. And it takes them about 15 minutes. It's a reverse commute on 85. And that's the good thing about young people and entrepreneurs. They can see beyond, okay? So maybe there's not much around it right now, but there's a lot that's going to come. And we just need to build some critical mass in that building because it's phenomenal. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in the whole region.
You just said something interesting that I'm not sure a lot of people who don't travel to Gastonia in rush hour understand or travel from or to, in other words, from Gastonia in the morning to Gastonia in the afternoon understand. If you're living in Ballantyne and you're fighting that 485 logjam, Gaston County doesn't have that. I've been told by people who live there, who work in Charlotte, that this is the best thing you've ever run into because it's 15-minute commute. You're not going. You're going against the traffic, morning and night.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? Mm-hmm. How have you kept that secret? Why have you kept that secret?
We're getting rid of that secret. That's what all this is about. And we're getting rid of it. We're having huge success with it, and we really appreciate you having us on to get rid of the secret further. But we're seeing more and more young people moving to Gaston County, and I think being more and more inclusive every day of what we see on the ground, and I think you come over to Belmont, and the Mount Holly, and see what happens on Friday afternoons with their concerts, and it's just an incredible place to live, and during a normal afternoon go to Belmont and see the people walking around in the afternoons, it's an unbelievably small town feel. Just being a few minutes from downtown Charlotte, and so we see it coming as and we are going to connect as a boom onto the Charlotte market. That's just going to be the best place and the growth in the coming 10 years.
Well, you've got the same amenities. Charlotte brags about its proximity to this world class airport. You're close.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte brags about being this intersection of interstate highways 85, 77, 485. You're right there.
Sure.
You're adjacent to a jobs and entertainment center, Charlotte. You've got plenty of land, I would think, over time for development. You have a lower cost of living. I've heard you described, and I'll say it again, that's the best kept secret in the area. What do people say when they find that out? I guess is
I think what we find is almost everyone we talk to is stunned at how much they love the atmosphere and the feel of Gaston County. And I really think when you're in the morning, you leave work and you go work all day and you leave there in the afternoon and 15 minutes later you're on top of Crowder's Mountain and you can see all the way over into the Charlotte downtown from the top of Crowder's Mountain. You realize that 25 minutes from downtown Charlotte, you've got this incredible natural amenity. And so I think we are the best kept secret, but not for long.
You're also working to find funding for better schools, job training programs, new bridges across the Catawba River and the South Fork Rivers and more. Where is the money coming from for this? Is it coming from tax revenues? Is it coming from private, public-private partnerships? Where's it coming from?
Well, this campaign, the Gaston Outside, is a public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
We had private businesses, private individuals, and then Gaston County itself and our other communities all partnered to go forth with this three-year campaign. And those other efforts are partnerships on all kind of levels.
How do you build – where do you want this new bridge across the Catawba?
It really needs to connect somewhere around West Boulevard at 485. That makes the most sense for us and also for Charlotte, for the Mecklenburg side.
You know, so on your side, where would it – what road
would it connect? It would connect above the Duke Power Plant, Allen, and go over to South Point Road, ultimately to New Hope Road.
Where are you in that reality?
We're in the queue in DOT. It's in part of their planning to seek funding, and so we have not received funding for it yet, but there's a lot of prioritization in that plan. So eventually we want to work our way up on the priority list for it. But long term, it makes sense. There's a seven-mile stretch of the river that neither one of us can get across. Yeah. It also impacts northern York County, and they don't have a way to get out of there other than through 49. Hmm. So at some point, if you think about the region's growth, adding 50,000 people a year in 10 or 15 years, you're going to have some outlet for that whole quadrant down there for safety reasons and just for people to move.
And they talk about building the Belmont Tunnel. You guys remember that? Do you remember that?
I do not.
Reeves?
Yes, I do. Very well.
Before my time.
Whose joke was that? Was that
It was Wade St. Clair.
Okay.
And it was an ongoing segment on WBT radio years and years ago.
Yeah. And they talk about traffic through the Belmont Tunnel. It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So there's talk of communities around the country, including Charlotte, attracting technology-driven enterprises to town. That is the case in Gaston County. I was going to ask, is that the case? But then as I was reading yesterday, it became clear to me that, Terry, that's one of the things that you are really involved in making happen.
Yes, indeed. So this whole Gaston Innovation Group effort, we are launching what we're calling GigWorks. So it's going to be a new co-working space with gigabit internet adjacent to Riverbend.
Tell people what that means.
So it's high-speed internet,
okay.
Probably 1,000 times the speed you have today. So Google Fiber. So I was very instrumental in helping to bring Google Fiber to Charlotte and kind of got involved in Gaston County with their gigabit infrastructure. So AT&T is rolling out Gigapower to residents there right now. But I'm very I had Gigapower in my house, actually, for the last year, and I'm very I will say this. I'll put a plug. If any provider comes to you and offers you gigabit internet at your house, take it.
Why?
Because that's the only way you're going to be able to do business a couple of years from now with all the smart devices. You need that kind of speed and broadband to operate. And so I think what we're going through, as you said earlier in the show, we're going through this whole digital transformation. And I believe that there is so much opportunity in Gaston County to, quote unquote, digitize a lot of their companies there that have a lot of assets, have capital, have clients. But, you know, we are moving more digitally. So I think there's a great effort for GigWorks, you know, as an entrepreneurial innovation technology effort there to really help digitally transform companies.
So did you have to convince AT&T to come in and do their GigWorks project?
I think they were planning to do that anyway, but
why?
We did work.
Why there and not here?
I mean, we worked closely with them, Alan Fitzpatrick and I, who started Charlotte Hearts Gigabit. We worked closely with AT&T and Google Fiber and Time Warner Cable. And then, of course, the Gaston Gigabit Committee, led by Steve Hannon. I mean, he's been pushing gigabit to that county. And there's a billboard along 85 near Cox Road all about gigabit for Gaston County. So
who can get that in Gaston County?
Just residents right now. But we're going to bring it to this GigWorks building that's right next to Riverman Brewery in Belmont.
Yeah.
So we're trying to create this whole technology entrepreneurial vibe in Belmont. Which is sort of like it's kind of like a Dilworth or a Southend, a smaller scale, and has Nelly's there now, the Jonas Brothers bar. I mean, there's just a cool vibe there that's 10 or 15 minutes from downtown, 10 minutes from the airport. It's going to be less expensive for these entrepreneurs to work out at GigWorks, and we'll have high-speed internet. And we hope to have, you know, we'll probably bring in a coding academy to teach, you know, teach programmers how to code, and we hope to have a gigabit demo studio so people can appreciate what this high-speed internet means. Virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and there's virtual healthcare, mobile development. I mean, that's all that stuff that's coming down the pipe that we want to be ahead of.
How many residents, I'm just trying to get a handle on this, how many residents in Gaston County have access to this GigaFiber network?
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. They're rolling it out right now.
Because they have to lay fiber for this, right?
Yeah.
Fiber,
well, no. AT&T is using their existing infrastructure.
Copper?
Google.
They're using copper?
We have a pretty extensive fiber from AT&T. We have a large AT&T center. So we've always had pretty robust telecommunications there.
Okay.
So they're building on top of what they already have. We do have the benefit of having a lot of AT&T investment in the county.
According to the Greater Gaston Development Corporation, in 2014, small business owners indicated a lack of readily available space suitably located to meet their needs. That was a challenge to them. Has that changed in the last 2 years? Is it changing? Are more spaces becoming available?
I think one of the unique challenges we have in the whole region is a lack of available space. If you go and look and try to find space of almost any size, say an industrial or light industrial use, mm-hmm. we have the lowest vacancy we've had in over 30 years. I've been here 32 years, and I've never seen it this tight. Normally, we would have a certain number of buildings available. We have virtually nothing. And the problem is when you build it new, it comes at a different price point, almost double what you might have paid for some existing space. So part of the challenge we have right now is just trying to find a way to make space available at a number that people can pay, and that's not unique to us. It's a good problem to have, but it does constrain the region's ability to recruit companies.
And you're also, Terry, setting up an incubator, I understand.
Yeah, that's that gig.
A business incubator. Is it strictly technology-oriented, or is it any kind of entrepreneurial effort?
I always say, you know, what we're trying to attract is – everything's technology-driven now, so they're all tech, right? But we're trying to recruit entrepreneurs who are going to have a high-growth company, are going to scale a company, create a lot of wealth for the region, and hopefully be loyal to the region. So, you know, you think of a Google. So Google's just an example of the kind of company we want to have. But you could probably have a high-growth advanced manufacturing company, too. You know, create the next great smart device. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that's all technology. I mean, everything's technology nowadays, underlying everything. But, you know, just the creative, innovate. I would say maybe the best way to summarize it, you know, I want highly, innovation-driven startups. That's what I want to recruit, innovation-driven startups, which most of them could be technology, but maybe not.
Okay. There are three business parks, I'm told, in Gaston County that are already fiber-ready. I guess that means fiber is going to them. How does that compare to other counties in the area? Because Google is just now rolling out Google Fiber up in the Highland Creek area of Charlotte, which is up there somewhere. How does that compare?
We've had the good fortune of having most of our business parks aligned along 85, where AT&T already had robust fiber. So even in areas that you would consider more rural, mm-hmm. western side of the county, we still have major fiber there already. And so to recognize that, AT&T designated this fiber ready. And so we've never had a problem recruiting companies. Typically, whatever they need is built beyond, say, a gigabit service. They have the services built to them for their specific needs by AT&T. And then we have other providers. We have DukeNet. We also have the city with some dark fiber. Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty robust fiber system. As mm-hmm. long as you're in one of our parks, you're generally taken care of. We have some unique electrical service, and it's run by telemetry. So it's run by the fiber from Raleigh. So they start the generators and manage them from Raleigh and don't come down here. So we've never really had a problem with the fiber service in the parks.
That's Donnie Hicks, Executive Director of the Gaston County Economic Development Commission. We're going to continue to talk more about Gaston County and about Gaston outside when we come back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, dedicated to promoting informed and engaged communities and committed to helping public radio advance quality journalism in the digital age. More at knightfoundation.org. The Democratic National Convention gets underway in Philadelphia today, where Hillary Clinton will accept the presidential nomination. So, on the Diane Rehm Show, coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock, a conversation about the DNC, as they did last week with the Republican convention. That starts in 20 minutes. And if you'd like to join our conversation about Gaston County, about Gastonia, about development out to the west of Charlotte, well, email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, search for WFAE on Facebook, or get to us through Twitter @CharlotteTalks. We're coming right back.
This week, Democrats will meet in Philadelphia to nominate Hillary Clinton for president. NPR and PBS NewsHour will be there, too. We're teaming up to bring you live coverage each night of the convention. I'm Rachel Martin. Join me, Judy Woodruff, and Gwen Ifill as we take you inside the arena and to the floor of the Democratic National Convention. It's special coverage from PBS NewsHour and NPR News.
Listen nightly beginning at 7 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Gaston County and Gaston Outside, a new branding campaign to reveal the secrets of Gaston County to the outside world, with Joel Long, chairman of the Greater Gaston Development Corporation, Donnie Hicks, executive director of Gaston County's Economic Development Commission, Terry Cox, executive director of Gaston Innovation Group, and Reeves McGlowan, senior consultant with for workforce development with the Gaston Regional Chamber. You recently chose Belmont as the site for this GigWorks incubator, and I'm told that got some people in Gastonia a little upset. Is there a rivalry between Gastonia and their smaller neighbor to the east, and how do you navigate those rivalries?
Well, you know, there's always rivalries, but we really didn't have much to navigate. In the documents to start the incubator, it's Gaston and the Luray Mill is the second phase of the incubator, and we just know that with the downtown movement in Belmont that the first phase is definitely lines up with the movement in downtown Belmont and how just incredible it is down there, and so and Terry is already working on that, and I think with all the amenities downtown, it's like the Jonas Brothers restaurant, just a great place to be. But the second phase will definitely be quickly, hopefully, moving into Luray.
Mm. We've had conversations on this program with Charlotte leaders who have seen projects go to other areas other than Charlotte, and they keep saying, well, a win for the region is a win for Charlotte. Is that the mindset in Gastonia when Belmont gets something that they want?
Oh, a win in Cherville and a win in Belmont and a win is a win for everybody. And, we're definitely all pulling together. And I think that's the biggest outcome of this Gaston Outside campaign is the collaboration from every city and every municipality and every partnership. It's incredible. And our nonprofits, too, everybody that's pulling together so that we, that rising tide is lifting all boats. And so, we're extremely excited. And there, everyone, the city council in Gastonia, is extremely thrilled when Belmont's winning. And there is some competition always, but that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. So this is a $1 million campaign, this Gaston Outside. I think you've raised $250,000 from from the private sector, $250,000. How's it coming with the rest of the million?
The money's raised and set aside, and we've not requested all of it yet. It's a 3-year campaign, and we're having to meet benchmarks along the way, which we should be doing, and we've just gone through our first year and getting to the end of that, and having huge success with that, and reporting back to all of our partners,
and when it's done in 3 years, when you've spent $1 million and you've gone through the 3-year campaign and you've met your benchmarks, what's the end result going to be in your mind?
Well, I'm sure there'll be a 4th, 5th, and 6th year extension. It's going to be so successful, and we'll cross that bridge hopefully when we get there to improve economics.
But even if it only lasts 3 years, what did you want? What did you tell the powers that be? You thought the end result of this would be? What was your goal?
Well, at the end of the near the end, we're going to go back out and do another study and do some more research. And then find out if we've twisted that, if we've moved that dial some on the response internally with Gaston County residents and also externally in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg region. And then we're going to measure capital investment. We're going to see if we've made any progress on that. And then we will. And we'll go from there and see what's next, because I'm sure it's not – after 3 years, it's not going to be over. It's going to be an extension into something else, I'm sure.
Reeves, you used to be – I believe you used to be the superintendent of Gaston County Schools, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and now you are here as today as a senior consultant for workforce development with the Gaston Regional Chamber. Mecklenburg County Schools take a lot of heat for not being good enough, and Union County Schools, when realtors try to sell Union County to incoming residents, they talk about how much better the schools are there than they are in Mecklenburg. I don't know if that's true or not. How would you assess Gaston County School? Because that's important when you want people to move.
Bob, they're good, and they're getting better each year. I think that the school system is committed to being a partner that's involved in workforce development. They understand that what they do is crucial to the success of the region. When you look at our schools, you see a rapidly rising graduation rate. You see award-winning schools like the Highland School of Technology. You see innovative schools like the new Hawk's Nest Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math School. You see neighborhood schools. Gaston is an area where when you start in elementary school, you know that your child is going to be able to finish there if you stay in the same neighborhood. Same thing is true of middle schools and high schools. Increasing number of opportunities for parents and youngsters within that school system, and a good solid record of success.
That neighborhood school thing is a very important item for a lot of people. Do you worry that if you're successful in growing the county as much as you'd like to grow it, that you'll run into the, you'll become a CMS of Gaston County, that those options will go away just because of the practical realities of the population?
Well, one of the things that we've talked about several times this morning are, you know, Gaston's made up of 13 different municipalities. And those housing patterns give you a really good distribution so that our schools are naturally diverse. And I think that will keep some of the things that have happened in other school systems from happening in Gaston. But the one thing that we are committed to in our county is the whole notion of giving parents and young people options. So that if they choose not to attend a neighborhood school, it's their choice. Not something that they're forced to do.
I know you're no longer the superintendent of schools out there, but workforce development, which is what you consult on now, is a big part of that is education at the high school and college level. Gaston County Schools ranked 114th out of 115 North Carolina school districts in per pupil spending. The district, I'm told, spends about $1,000 less per student than the average school system in the state. So, has that been a problem? And if so, is there political will to change that?
Yes and yes. Has it been a problem? Sure. When you're competing with 114 other school systems and your per pupil spending is as low as it is, it says that you got to be innovative. It says that you have to think out of the box. It says that you have to commit to encouraging decision makers to increase funding. But our approach in Gaston County is let's don't talk about what we don't have. Let's do a good job of spending what we do have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done that. The workforce development area, when you look at GO, I think the GO for us would be—
GO is Gaston Outside, by
Gaston
the way.
Gaston Outside. It would be outside the box. I think we understand that if we do things the way we've always done them, we're not going to get the results that we mm-hmm. need. And so there are a lot of really neat, innovative programs that the Chamber of Commerce is coordinating and facilitating that are being carried out by our workforce development partners. There will be a number of Gaston County schools, guidance counselors and teachers who will spend a week in the workforce. They will be out in some 17 businesses because we know if we're going to have the kind of workforce we need, that our teachers and guidance counselors have to understand what opportunities are there in
right.
Gaston County, what jobs, what careers. So they'll be out there this week through a collaborative effort spearheaded by the Chamber through the school system and the business community, learning about the 21st century jobs that are available. We have another program called Students at Work, which we moved down into the middle school because we understand that we haven't historically done as good a job with our young students in teaching them and their parents what opportunities are available in Gaston County.
And when you say young, how old are you talking
middle
about?
School, eighth grade. This spring and the program will grow next year, our middle school students spent a considerable amount of time in local businesses, and local businesses spent time in our middle schools so that they begin to understand jobs and careers that are available in their own neighborhoods.
But the real thrust, it seems to me, begins at post-high school graduation. I suppose you can get into a track in high school that takes you one way or the other, but if you're going to be trained for special jobs, it's going to happen in college, right, or at least community college level.
Absolutely.
Gaston College, I'm told, has seen significant state operating fund cutbacks in recent years, had its capital funding reduced by the county. Is there a plan to reverse that, given the realities of what you want to accomplish?
Well, again, I think that there will be efforts made, I'm sure, on behalf of Dr. Skinner and the staff at Gaston College to articulate their needs. But they, like the school system, are doing a good job saying, we're going to use what we've got.
Donnie? And
I think you have to be careful with the capital spending because it tends to be lumpy expenses. We built a new building for the college a couple years ago to house the nursing and health science pieces. Mm-hmm. And then we've given capital for routine maintenance that they need. And then we've also put in a couple million dollars for the new advanced manufacturing training facility. Those are funds that you would typically expect maybe the state to pick up, but to accelerate the college's growth, the commissioners have given them that money. So if you look at Gaston College versus a lot of other surrounding community colleges, I think if you went out there and looked at it, you'd be surprised at what it looks like. So,
and despite the fact that per pupil spending may be lower than average across the state in Gaston County in the public schools there, Joel, you wrote an article not too long ago for the Gaston Gazette in which you said our education system continuously ranks among the best in the state. How's that possible given the per pupil spending?
I think we focus on outcomes.
Yeah.
A lot more than the level of spending. I'm sure it could always be more. But there's a dedication to go win now in our education system that I don't think we've ever had. And I think there is a political will that is transforming us more and more. And so, yeah, I think we're continuing to get better. Do we have an incredible way to go? Of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a great example is the just announced, I think, 30 days ago, 45 days ago, that you know, we have the North Carolina Teacher of the Year from Gaston County, Bobby Kavanaugh.
And he was on the show. He's an amazing person.
He is amazing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he'll make you believe immediately.
Oh, yeah.
He will.
I wanted to go back to grade school.
I did, yeah. you know, and so we have those things. And so, yeah, I think we are definitely winning more and more every day.
Central Piedmont Community College here in Mecklenburg County has had a thrust for years to train students for the jobs of today and for the industries that are here or who want to come here. Is the same thing happening in Gaston County?
Very much so, and I think there's a dynamic that people haven't tapped into in the workforce. You have, in my mind, three different levels. You have credentials. I've taken these five classes, and that may be all the company needs. If you know things that you learn in these five classes, I'm good. To accelerate things, we've created certificates. It's a one-year typically certificate in something, and that gives you a little bit more knowledge. And then if you're working in for a larger company where you may be working in a global environment, you need more than just the technical skills. You may need some math skills. You may need some writing skills, some comprehension skills. Those people are interested in associate's degrees. So a lot of the work that we're doing is to try to address those three pieces. And then the hardest piece is a continuing education once somebody's employed.
Yeah. You said, Donnie, that Gaston County has a lost decade of potential workers who haven't decided what they want to do. And, in fact, the average age of a community college student in Gaston County is 28 years old, meaning, you say, that they've spent 10 years after high school without a meaningful career. Why? What's going on?
I think that's not unique to our county. I do a lot of work with the community college system, so it's not unique to us. But I think what you find is it, and Reese is more in tune with this than I am, but I think you find people either go to college for a while and it doesn't work out, and they come back and try to find themselves, they try to find some occupation, it doesn't work, and they go back to the community college system to get a job and make a living. Mm-hmm. And there's some phenomenal opportunities that people just haven't discovered with all the community college system in North Carolina, with degrees and certificates. They can provide almost immediate employment at sometimes levels greater than what you'd have with a four-year degree.
And you chuckled in recognition of that statistic when I said a lost decade, Reeves. So what does that mean to you?
And Mike, that's what we're trying to do through collaborative programs between the school system and the community college to make students aware and their parents aware that, you know, there are tremendous opportunities available in Gaston College that pay well. Mm-hmm. Historically, we waited too late to begin that, and so that's why we have moved some programs down into the middle schools to try to begin to do that in a more effective way.
The North Carolina Chamber Foundation recognized Gaston as an NC Works certified work-ready community. What does that mean?
Well, it means that for Donnie's purposes, that he is one of 13 of his counterparts in the state of North Carolina who can make that claim. It says that through a very rigorous set of standards established nationally by ACT, Gaston County is one of 13 communities in North Carolina that's met those standards. And it says it is a tangible indication of the number of individuals we have available to people who are looking to come to Gaston County, or people who are already in Gaston County looking to fill vacancies. And Gaston is one of 119 communities nationwide who have met that standard.
The two major access points from the east for Gaston County are 85 and U.S. 74. There was going to be the Garden Parkway, which is going to be a toll road, and that has been canceled. Now, how will that impact your plans, if at all?
I think the plan is now to go back and try to get a bridge across the river for transportation reasons, for safety reasons. When you look at what's going to happen west of the airport with Johnny Harris's development, Lincoln Harris, and also with Crescent, there needs to be some southern way to get out of that development and get over into other locations, because they're going to want people to commute in from York County and Gaston County in that location. And so I think that project ends up being better off if we do it. So I think
have Johnny pay for it.
We're willing to take it. I think the momentum there needs to be get a bridge across Catawba River and then build on it from there later on.
So when you see the billboards on 85 that say Gaston outside, it's not about Woodlands.
No, it's about the
thinking outside the box.
Come over and come to Gaston and live, work, and play. And we're open for business, and we'd love to have you.